This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala ibadihi alladhina astafa wa ba'd. All praise is indeed due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him and all his companions, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless every single one of us and our offspring, those to come up to the day of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep them on deen. Ameen. Honored ulama, beloved brothers and sisters and dearest listeners, this evening we commenced a surah. This surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed it in this particular order for some reasons. Some of these reasons we will know and some we will never know. But all we understand is it is dedicated to the women folk. And it is named after them, An-Nisa. An-Nisa meaning the women. So we had the issue of the Jews, the issue of the Christians, and now one of the main issues that the non-Muslims use against the Muslims, the issue of the women. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clarified it towards the beginning of the Quran, making clear the status of a woman compared to what she was at the time of ignorance, the time of jahiliyyah, the period where they traded in women. When a man had to owe someone money and he passed away, the person he owed money to would inherit his children, his female children, or his wife, or his mother, and so on. And Islam prohibited that. A woman shall not be treated like a commodity. And at the same time, she shall be granted such respect that she will be allowed complete and total sole ownership of her own wealth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand the status of women. So this evening, naturally, we will be making mention of verses that will be clarifying the position of women. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the opening verses makes it very clear how He created human beings. Ya ayyuha an-nas ittaqu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahidah. O people, be conscious of the one, your Rabb, who created you from one soul. And from that soul, He says, وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا. From it, He created its spouse. Which means, according to the narrations, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reports, and this hadith is correct. Some have tried to point fingers at it, but it does not reduce the value of a woman if she was created from the rib of man. There is absolutely no need to fret over that. Man was created from dust, that does not reduce his level. Or from soil, it doesn't reduce his level. So there is no point to be apologetic and start pointing fingers at Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu and start pointing fingers at the narration to say, no, this is invalid and incorrect. It does not reduce your status at all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. So a female, as Allah says, was created from a male. And read this verse, if you know the Arabic language, وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا. There's no two meanings for that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. Then Allah says, وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. From the two of them, He caused a multitude of male and female to grow. And this includes every single one of us. In this picture, we see that a female is involved. In my creation and yours, a female was involved. This opening verse already shows us the level of our mothers. Without them, we would not be here. So be careful. This is why immediately after that, Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. There are several meanings of this verse. I will mention one of them. Be conscious of Allah, with whose name or whose name you use when you are talking to one another. You know, we say, Wallahi, we take an oath with the name of Allah. Allah says, be conscious of that Allah and be conscious of the wombs that gave birth to you. Subhanallah. Be conscious of your relatives that are connected to you via the wombs of your mothers. And be conscious of your own mothers and your wives and your daughters and so on. They have a level. They need your protection. They need your respect. This is what they need. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to be good to our women folk. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says immediately after that, He is mentioning the protection that a female child requires from us as males. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the orphan child. More so the female from amongst the orphans. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs us to look after her wealth and to look after the orphan's wealth in general, male and female. Not to steal it, not to usurp it, not to cheat them out of it, to make sure that we give them their due. To make sure that if we are looking after orphan children who are not our own or who are not related to us so closely and we are poor, we are allowed to take from their wealth only according to what we have spent on them. And if we are wealthy, Allah says, better you don't take wealth, use your own. It is better for you. You will be considered from amongst those who are looking after an orphan child. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the issue of inheritance in great detail. In which surah? Not the surah of inheritance, the surah of women. Why is it the case? Let's try and understand. Because many men, very sadly, happen to cheat their women out of inheritance. Many of them are guilty, sometimes outwardly appearing to be so pious and so holy, and yet they have conned their women folk and usurped the wealth after the death of the one whom they are supposed to be the heirs of. So we ask Allah's protection. Remember, inheritance is a very, very serious topic. And it is very important that we understand and learn the rules. One of the only subjects that are discussed in great detail in the Quran. If you notice this evening, there were all the portions that were being mentioned. And I repeated twice or thrice. Because subhanAllah, these verses are such that if you are not concentrating properly, they may confuse you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. This is how much your mother gets. This is how much your wife gets. This is how much your daughter gets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of all this in Surah An-Nisa in order to show you that a woman, you are not allowed to treat her as a commodity and inherit her as a person. But over and above that, you must give her her share from the inheritance of your own father or your family member and so on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us conscious of this. And at the end Allah says, if you are not going to deal with your estates in a manner that is decreed by Allah, then for you, may Allah protect myself and yourselves, is a severe punishment for a long, long period of time in the fire of Jahannam.
وَمَن يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ.
Whoever transgresses, goes against the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not want to resolve their matters of inheritance according to the Sharia, for them will be the punishment of hellfire. The words used are khalidam fiha, which means dwelling therein forever. The Mufassireen say, if you are Muslim, you will stay there for a long, long time. But some of the Mufassireen go as far as saying, if you have denied these laws, you lose your iman. So you die a non-Muslim. That is why Allah uses the word khalidam fiha, which means you will dwell, or one will dwell, in Jahannam forever and ever. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. It's not worth the 10,000 rands, the 100,000 rands, the million rands, the 10 million rands. Believe me, give them away. Have a big heart. In fact, be honest. Because believe me, no matter how big or small that amount is, the punishment that lies if we have usurped it is very, very great. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard myself and yourselves. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about seeking forgiveness. And Allah says, tawbah is not for the person who constantly commits sin, one after the other. You go against this rule, that rule, the other rule, the other rule, until when death comes to the person, then they say, now I'm turning to Allah. Allah says in this surah, Surah An-Nisa, tawbah is not for such a person. Tawbah is for a person who has committed a sin and then regrets it and turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when they turn to Allah, Allah will forgive them whilst they are still healthy, whilst they are still fine, whilst they have not seen the angel of death. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a turning point. Believe me, gone are the days of sinning. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. It is time we changed our habits. It is time we became examples. And the address is for myself as well as every single one of us. We need to become exemplary. The way we treat our women folk this evening, we have dedicated this whole surah for women folk. And that is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us look at what Allah says immediately after He mentions this issue of tawbah and turning. He says regarding the women folk,
وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ.
Live with them in goodness. Live with them with the norms, with that which is the norm, that which is acceptable. Live with them in a beautiful manner. Address them with respect. In the same way you would not like your daughter to be addressed by someone else in a harsh manner, don't address your wife who is the daughter of someone else in the same manner. Sometimes we address our mothers in a manner that we would not address our own daughters in. So we ask Allah to grant us protection. Many of the young generation, very sadly, and I'm going to say this because it is a crisis, they don't understand why they are marrying. You bring in someone's daughter in your home, every night you find yourself up to midnight outside with your friends. Sometimes, sadly, in the casinos, drinking. Sometimes, sadly, intoxicating, and the women are suffering in silence. Sometimes they don't even know you are on drugs for 10 years and 20 years. Then they find out the problem. May Allah protect us, my children and yours. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a turning point. These are the blessed days of the month of Ramadan. The eve of Ramadan and these nights that we have are so powerful. These reminders are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for me to change my bad ways and for you to change your bad ways and habits. And nobody can stand up and say, I don't have a single bad habit, because that would be a lie. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability, firstly, to acknowledge where we have a weakness. That is the most powerful step forward, to acknowledge your weakness. And secondly, to do something about it, to seek assistance and seek help. Never be too embarrassed to get up, no matter who you are and what you are worth. Never be too embarrassed to get up and seek assistance from those who are helping. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to reach out to one another, to assist one another in goodness, and to abstain from promoting vice. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about who the maharim are. Maharim are those who are so closely related to you that the hijab does not apply. In the sense that your daughter and your mother and your sister and so on, there is a list that we have read this evening that is in Surah An-Nisa as well. And it is appropriately in the surah because it is connected to whom you cannot marry. That is a circle of people you are not allowed to marry. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability or the acceptance to respect them as well. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. I'd like to mention a very interesting point. A person who cannot respect the mother of his own children will never ever find his children respecting their own mother. Let's understand this. So if someone cannot respect their wife who is the mother of their own children, they are encouraging their children to disobey not only them, but they started a circle where the children will not obey or will not be able to respect their own wives the day they get married. This is why some of the ulama, they say that when you want to marry a man, just look at how the father treated the mother. That's it. I don't know whether this is actually applicable. It's not from a hadith, but I think it seems correct. Because if someone was brought witnessing, fighting and squabbling every single day, brought up in that manner, what do you think they will do as a result? They will continue doing the same and the circle continues. Someone somewhere needs to break that. And it is occasions like these, blessed seasons like Ramadan, that are there for us to change completely and to break the evil circle and to get into a circle that will be full of goodness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that to us. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how important it is to be honest in your business. And in the same way we said, don't eat someone else's wealth in inheritance, Allah says, don't eat anybody else's wealth for any reason whatsoever. Don't eat the wealth that belongs to someone else. When you have done business, a straight deal, you may eat. But if it is any business that is crooked, the Quran says abstain. The reason is, when we contaminate ourselves by putting a morsel of haram into our mouths, we have naturally created energy that is satanic energy. This is why when we were young, our fathers used to tell us, say Bismillah before you eat. Because if you don't, shaitan will eat your food. And we never used to understand what that meant. But if someone eats a morsel, okay, maybe it's not as serious as that. When it comes to not saying Bismillah out of forgetfulness, there is always a way out to say Bismillahi awwalahu wa akhirah. But when a person puts a morsel of haram in his mouth or her mouth, do you know that that energy that is derived from that will only be utilized by Satan in order to achieve that which is prohibited, in order to go in a direction that is wrong? And this is why you find then we cannot control our eyes, because what we ate was haram. Our thoughts are dirty, because what we ate was haram. What we touch, when we touch halal, we are not satisfied. When we touch haram, we are very happy, because our morsel we put in was haram. When we walk towards the masjid, we feel lazy, because the energy derived is haram. But when we walk towards casinos and nightclubs and drugs and so on, we find the energy from where? No one knows. But it is the haram morsel. This is why it's very important for us to abstain from that which is prohibited. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after saying that, addresses the men and women to say, I have made you males and I have made you females. Do not wish and hope to be the other. And don't wish and hope for that status which I have granted the other or the opposite sex. You need to be pleased with what Allah has given you. Yes, sometimes we might, you know, people utter without meaning it that I wish I was a man so I could do this and that. But if a person says that out of being displeased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is what is meant in this verse.
وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوْا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ.
Don't hope and wish for that which Allah has granted some of you above the others. And here it is referring to male above female and female above male. And we have in some instances women, or the females, have a higher status than males when it comes to childbirth and looking after the children and being a mother and the level of a mother and so on. So a man should not be upset with Allah that he is a man not being able to go through that. The same applies to a woman. She should not be upset with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say, why am I going through this? That is Allah. He has chosen that for you. You should be pleased with it. Make the most of it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us steadfastness. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beautifully, look at the sequence. He speaks about marriage and he speaks about nikah, whom you are not allowed to marry and so on. Then he makes mention so beautifully about what to do when there is a problem in the home. Say for example, the husband and wife are not getting along. What to do? Allah says, وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ شِقَاقَ بَيْنِهِمَا فَبَعَثُوا حَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا. When you are fearing a split between husband and wife, then a person should be appointed from either party, which means the man comes up and he appoints a trustworthy person from his side, and the woman must come up and appoint a trustworthy person from her side. But that's not it. What a lot of people don't know is once you have appointed a person representing you, those two will meet, and whatever decision they arrive at, you must accept it. There is no choice. Some people think that now I've appointed, say, my uncle and she's appointed her father. For example, the two of them have sat and arrived at a conclusion and I come up and say, no, it's not suitable for me. That is sinful. The fact that you have put up somebody or you have appointed somebody from your side already would mean whatever they say, you are ready to surrender to it. So in Islam, to solve a problem, you don't leave it at your discretion. When the two decide that this is right, you surrender to it. That's what Allah says.
إِن يُرِيدَا إِصْلَاحًا يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا.
Powerful verse. Allah says, if both parties intend to solve the matter, it will be solved in no time. But when one party doesn't want to resolve the matter, one party is not sincere, a party goes into an arbitration only wanting to prove who was right and who was wrong, in that case, forget about solving the problem. You might find out who was right and wrong, and you might never, but you won't solve your problem. Leave what has happened in the past. Start from where you are now. If you have to raise certain major issues, you may raise them, not with the idea of finding out who was right and wrong, but so that they are not repeated again in the future. But then you solve your problem, resolve it, turn a new leaf. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all a new beginning, especially in spirituality. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us elevation every day. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of how there are certain people whom, when there is a problem, they are mu'mineen, meaning they claim to believe. But when there is a problem and they are called to arbitration to resolve their matters according to what Allah and His Messenger have said, they turn away. Allah says those are hypocrites. Allah says those, Allah will deal with them severely in the dunya and in the akhirah. And here Allah makes mention very clearly.
أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ يَزْعُمُونَ أَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِن قَبْلِكَ يُرِيدُونَ أَن يَتَحَاكَمُوا إِلَى الطَّاغُوتِ وَقَدْ أُمِرُوا أَن يَكْفُرُوا بِهِ.
Do you see people who claim to follow what was revealed to you and what was revealed before you? They claim to be believers. Then in order to resolve their disputes, they want to run to the non-Muslims. They want to run to others. This is what Allah says. And Allah says,
وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالَوْا.
When it is told to them, come. Come where?
إِلَى مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ وَإِلَى الرَّسُولِ رَأَيْتَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يَصُدُّونَ عَنْكَ صُدُودًا.
When it is told to them, come, let's solve our matters according to the Sharia. Let's solve our matters according to what Allah and His Messenger have said. You find the hypocrites turning away because it doesn't suit them. In another surah, in Surah Fatir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it clearly, that there are certain people who claim to be believers. When there is an arbitration, they quickly take a look. Will I get more according to Sharia or according to another law? Wherever they are getting more, they run in that direction. These are clear verses in the Quran. They describe a large chunk of people. May Allah protect us all. Never make me from amongst those. As I said moments ago, if you are going to lose monetarily, so long as you decided that your problem will be resolved according to Allah and His Messenger, you have already won. Subhanallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after making that clear, He then instructs us. He says, O you who believe, follow Allah, follow the Messenger, and follow those in authority above you on condition that they are instructing you within that which was stipulated by Allah and the Messenger. And if there is a dispute between you and those in authority above you, you will go back to Allah and His Messenger's rule and law and command, and you will resolve the matter. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a beautiful verse in this surah, Surah An-Nisa. And after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of how the Messenger was sent in order to be obeyed.
وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ.
Whenever we have sent a messenger down, we have only sent the messengers so that they may be obeyed by the will of Allah. So we need to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He sends messengers for us to obey those messengers. Now there come people who say, no, the sunnah, we don't believe in it. We only believe in the Quran. I wonder if you've come across such people. They are called Quraniyun. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warns us openly about that. He says, أَلَا يُوشِكُ أَن يَأْتِيَ رَجُلٌ جَالِسٌ عَلَىٰ أَرِيكَتِهِ يَقُولُ هَذَا كِتَابُ اللَّهِ مَا وَجَدْنَا فِيهِ مِنْ حَلَالٍ أَحْلَلْنَاهِ وَمَا وَجَدْنَا فِيهِ مِنْ حَرَامٍ حَرَّمْنَاهِ. He says, أَلَا إِنِّي أُوتِيتُ الْقُرْآنَ وَمِثْلَهُ مَعَهُ. The hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warns us, he says, very soon a man will come reclining on his sofa, that's the words used in this narration, reclining on his reclining chair, saying, look, this is the book of Allah, I accept it, I don't accept anything else. And the hadith says, behold, I have been given the Quran and the Sunnah together with it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. So here, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ. We have never sent a messenger except for him to be obeyed. Here we are. We have included the Sunnah in here. Here is the verse for those who wanted to know what the verse was. There are some who have even challenged the ulama. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention of a very important point, saying, we can never call ourselves true believers until we accept that which the messenger has decided. When there was a dispute between us, the messenger decides something, that decision is final. We are not allowed to have any form of negative feeling within us regarding what Islam has stipulated. If there is a law in the Sharia, it is a law. That law, we are not allowed to go against it, nor are we allowed to feel in our hearts any form of negativity regarding the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If that's the case, and if we are going to feel negative, Allah says, you are not true believers. Listen to the verse.
فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ.
Nay, we swear by your Rabb, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are not true believers until they consider you the judge in their disputes. Whatever you have uttered is final, and they should not feel an iota of negativity in their hearts regarding the decision made by yourself, which was inspired by Allah subhanahu, or from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as Muslimin, there are laws in Islam, in the Sharia, so many laws, regulations. Some, we might be weak where we have faltered, but we never ever deny the laws of the Sharia. Nor do we feel in our hearts for a moment that this law is primitive. If that's the case, how can we call ourselves believers? There are so many problems on the globe today. Do you know what the reason is? There are, if I can use the word, wise cracks who really want to change the Sharia, thinking that now we need to modernize this rule and that rule. That's why we've got problems. Whereas if we were to go back to the original rules of the Quran and the Sunnah, our problems would be resolved. But when we try to modernize and change and try and give due where it is not given, and try and remove the due from where it is given, then we will find the whole world going upside down as we notice now. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all and bring us back to the right side. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of another very, very powerful point. And obviously, the points are many. I'm just going to mention it because the sequence is so beautiful. After this, Allah says, look, you want solution to your problems. And we all do, inshallah. Allah says,
أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ.
Are they not going to try to understand the Qur'an? Are they not going to try to understand the Qur'an? Believe me, if we do that, we will succeed. Listen to another verse in Surah Sad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of one of the reasons why He revealed the Qur'an is so that we can look into it and try to understand it, so that we can succeed. Let's hear the verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Sad, regarding the Qur'an, He says, we have revealed this book, we have revealed the Qur'an so that it may be understood. Listen to the verse.
كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ.
The book that we have sent down is in order for them to contemplate over its verses and for it to act as a reminder for those who have a sound mind. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. I normally present a question, and I'd like to end with this question. We have lived, many of us, for several years, mashallah, many years. MashaAllah, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, how many of us have understood even a small portion of the Qur'an? How many of us have made an effort to try and understand the messages of the Qur'an? Let's be honest. Many of us are so old. Wallahi, what answer are we going to give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He asks us the most powerful kalam, the most powerful words of mine? You never bothered to try to understand them. You never bothered to try and look into the meanings of these words. What did I say? What was my message? Subhanallah. How are we going to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Don't worry about what people tell you. Shaitan comes in so many forms and so many shapes in order to tell us, stay away from the Quran, stay away from this and from that. Wallahi, it is my duty and yours. Allah has revealed this Quran so that we can contemplate over its verses. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from that. And the bare minimum is to attend the lessons of tafsir in the masjids that are nearby to us. Let us make use of the ulama in our midst. If we don't have a tafsir session in our masjid, wallahi, get hold of the ulama and tell them we want a tafsir lesson once a day, once a week, and let's all attend and make sure we go to others and pick up our friends and go and attend. Because that is the way to succeed. That is the way really that we will be pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we will be solving our problems. All the solutions to our problems have been revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the biggest problem is we don't know revelation itself. So what then is the difference between us and others? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the correct use of the ulama in our midst who have been carefully selected and chosen to be living in our areas and localities. And may we not be lazy to attend such lectures. And may we not be lazy to attend the weekly or the daily lessons of tafsir or of hadith or of any other beneficial talk that there is in the masjid or in any other place. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use us for the right reasons. May He grant us knowledge until we meet again tomorrow, inshaAllah. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.